and it is 9:04, and you're listening to the Sandspur Hour. For the next hour, you will have campus news, local news, news, more news. Yes. And I am Greg Golden.
My name's Amir Sade.
And as we get started today, I thought it would be nice to update our listeners on the vote of no confidence for President Duncan.
Yes, update.
You got that email from the board?
Yeah, I got that email from the board for over the last weekend.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so it looks like the board is backing Duncan.
Although they're also trying to say they also back the faculty as well, a little bit.
Right, how's that worded?
A little bit of word. Well, it's kind of saying that, well, they start off in the beginning by saying how with a vote of only 38% of the faculty, kind of obviously with that one line, you can kind of see the direction they're going. It says that they support Duncan, but they also support the faculty and they support the college as a whole. So what they're hoping to do is to kind of have a dialogue occur with the faculty and the president feeling, you know, and everybody feeling like they have a voice and they can kind of talk. So I understand where they're coming from. I definitely see that they don't want to be like, oh, we support the president, and it's like a president versus faculty. It's kind of, hey, guys, we're one whole college. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting dynamic right now. But I understand the position of the board and kind of trying to bring everybody together. It's definitely going to be a little bit maybe easier said than done, though.
Right. And it did come as a little bit of a surprise to me, at least, because it seemed like so much of the momentum was on the faculty's side that
Right. There
might have been maybe not action taken immediately, but possibly no statement for the use of considering his future over the summer or using a period of non-academic year.
No, they just kind of gave it a week and they just kind of came with their statement. I mean, I think it shows one thing that they are, they at least are confident and Duncan, and it's kind of going to be, well, we think we're confident in him, so let's make you guys feel confident about him too. You know, and I think a lot of it in the end comes down to, like, you know, like a lot of things they said, like, Duncan doesn't come to the meetings and he's rarely there and they feel like their voices aren't being heard. And, you know, what with all the other little things that have gone on over the last, you know, with the College of Professional Studies and Phi Beta, all that stuff, I think that it just had a big snowballing effect. And I bet many in the faculty don't agree with the board's position. But I feel that if a true effort is taken to kind of bridge the gaps and divides between our faculty and our president, then I'm all for it. But I feel like there has to be a true effort taken on both sides, on not just the president's side, but also the faculty's side, to really, really kind of, okay, we'll put bygones be bygones. We'll put an honest effort, but if it doesn't work, and saying if this doesn't work, I think it'll just faction it 10 times more. I think that's what the Board of Trustees has to realize, is that, okay, like, if they come into this and they're really earnest, both sides, and it still just works out to be nothing, you're really going to faction off the rest of the faculty. That 38% is going to turn to more like 70, 80% very quickly.
Right, and only uninformed, but I didn't know our faculty was that big.
If a
67-10 vote was only
38%, I mean, less than 50%. I was quite amazed too. I'm like, oh, because you still think that, like, 67 people, that's, you know, 67 out of 10, that's 77, you know, nearing 100. Oh, wow, that's a lot of people. Like, that's a still good proportion. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of break it down and it's like, oh, well, when you look at it that way, okay, but, you know, it's still like a, it's still a hefty minority, but I mean, time will tell. I mean, the way the board is kind of the board is trying not to, to take sides. They're trying to be as diplomatic as possible by saying, well, we support the president, but we support everybody. We support the college. The greater goal is the college, and I think that's what we're trying to get at. And I think that what will happen, they can obviously kind of go one of two ways. Either some real changes happen, real things happen, or just be a greater fractioning. So we don't know. We'll see. So, yeah. So, I don't know. But I just, it also kind of comes down to what does that mean? Like, what is going to happen? But I think definitely the letter brings out a point that the Board of Trustees wants to obviously have its cake and eat it a little bit, wants to keep the president, but also wants to keep the support of the faculty. And I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. And what does this mean? What do these dialogues actually talk about? And what do they actually mean? But I don't know. I think time will tell. And we just have to wait to see. But in other news, not only just talking about, you know, things going on with the president and whatnot, major news has also happened at the Ronce on our campus. If you haven't seen the latest Sansbury, you probably heard about the Greek life situation. Yes, Greek life. Greek life over the last few months has gone over some interesting situations that have come around, and both TKE, Teak, and Kappa Kappa Gamma have lost housing at Rollins College. Hear that, Greg?
Yeah, I heard that part.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you heard.
We just had a caller. That was Hawkeye of Hawkeye's Entertainment looking for his coffee cup.
You're joking.
What?
Hey, guys, it's live. It's live. Things happen. As I was introducing, the next segment was about Greek life.
Yes,
and
yeah,
talking
it is
about how Teak and TKE and
KKG.
KKG, Kappa Kappa Gamma, have lost housing due to shenanigans that have occurred over the last few months. If maybe you want to kind of take the reins on that.
Sure. This is all detailed in our latest
Sansbury
issue of the,
yes,
Sansbury. The front story is Kicked Out, which I don't know if you said already, refers to them both losing their houses.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did. Those being Pugsley Hall and Rollins Hall, two of the more distinguished-looking houses, residence halls on campus, wouldn't you say?
Definitely, for sure. I mean, you go down the lane when you come to Rollins, uh-huh, the archway, you see Pugsley. It is,
right,
like that's the first thing you see.
And that's where people who are taking their engagement photos come in, snap some pics, people who are visiting the area.
Exactly. I mean,
and it's iconic.
It's iconic. It's really, I mean, like, of the two halls, I mean, definitely Teak's house is the most recognizable. It is the one you see. And Kappa's house is also quite wonderful as well. I mean, any fraternity or sorority housing, it's very ornate. It's very wonderful. It's huge. And that's why it's an honor to have a house on campus. So to kind of lose it, you must have done something really bad.
And those reasons haven't totally been disclosed.
Not totally.
No. Representatives have let the Sansbury know that Teak's was because of partially an alcohol violation, and KKG's has just not
even talked at all.
Right,
know,
and would rather not even set the record straight through the paper when they were given
a chance,
their chance to, rather than sort of let these rumors continue,
mm-hmm,
on what they were being sanctioned for.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, Greek life as a whole over the last few months has kind of had a very massive, kind of was turned on its head. You know, Lip Sync lost four of its participants. There was no Greek,
right,
week. I mean, because four of the eight fraternity and sororities were on probation at the time. I mean, it's like,
right. So these are some campus traditions that are,
oh yeah,
sort of being, you know, taken away because of the lack of participation that some of these larger organizations can have due to these restrictions and sanctions. And so we did have ATO, who was disbanded and dissolved by their national fraternity headquarters. That was a few years ago. It remains to be seen what response there could be from the national organizations of TEEK and KKG, but they have been referenced as their issues having been sort of national priorities for these organizations. Mm-hmm. And so there could be the national stepping in. We could see that.
We could definitely see that. I mean, but I think overall it's kind of really put into question as to, you know, Greek life as a whole at Rollins. And I think there's always been this very factioning between, you know, you have your Kaios, Teak, Kappa, and then you have your X Clubs and your AOPIs, and there's a very big difference. I mean, there's a very big difference between the two. And
what's that difference?
Well, I'll just put it plainly, you know, Teak, Kappa, Kaio, all those are very, you know, big, known as partying fraternities and sororities. You know, it's little crazy, little wild. But I mean, we know them and we love them, and that's why we love them. You know, we expect craziness, as opposed to your AOPIs and your X Clubs, which are a little bit more reserved, a little not as out there and as crazy, a little bit more genteel. I guess that's the nice way to, a little bit more genteel. But you were going
to
say? Yeah.
Well, that's not to say that all of those organizations aren't still participating in the things that make Greek life viable.
Of course
viable.
Not. Of course, I am not saying that at all.
Right. Just to set the record straight.
No, we're setting all the record straight.
I
just want to put some true talk. But yes, go on.
But in terms of the philanthropic work and all that goes on with being involved with the community, even just being involved on Rollins campus and getting involved in these different events that we were talking about, Lip Sync, Greek Week, mm-hmm, that sort of
exactly.
thing, and the sort of presence that they bring to different academic and social events at Rollins when they do attend as a community and as brothers and sisters. And so reading Dr. Jana Matthews' article in the Sanspur that appeared last week, she being Kappa Kappa Gamma's faculty advisor, mm-hmm. she had talked about the great things that she had seen gone on and all that outweighs in her mind the negative things that are sort of coming to light at this time.
Yeah.
And so that is worthwhile to think about. Of course, having some of those negative things, you'd rather not at all. But perhaps that's what comes of having these like-minded students together. And yes, you have them all contributing towards really great goals. But maybe on the other side, when you do have potentially hazing and other potentially dangerous situations, that does it or does it not undermine like the greater goals that they are able to work towards?
Of course. I think like just any student in college, let alone Greek organizations, it's all about balancing. It's all a balancing process. I mean, yes, drinking underage or whatever happens, it's not exclusive to an organization or
sure.
anything. I mean, things happen. People do things, and it's not something to be necessarily condoned, but it happens. It's a reality of life. It's a reality of college. And I think that it's a, like you mentioned, it's a balancing act between...
No, you mentioned that.
I mentioned that. Thank you. Sorry. I always want to give undue credit to other people. Gosh, Greg. No, but it comes down to balancing. It comes down to, okay, I have a paper due on Monday. I'm going to party on Friday or Saturday. And then Sunday, even if I have a hangover, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to get that paper done, and I'm going to get that A. I mean, like, it's just about, I guess, being responsible even while you're being irresponsible.
Sure. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
You want peanut butter and chocolate. That's what makes Reese's awesome.
Yeah.
Reese's Pieces and all that jazz.
Are those really opposites?
Well, little bit. I mean, like, one is
oh,
buttery,
I guess salty.
But salty and sweet.
A little bit. Okay.
Salty and sweet.
Yeah. Where's the umami?
Umami.
Those other flavors.
All those tastes, all those senses. But yes.
Continuing coverage will be forthright in the Sandspur, and as has been a resource in the President's No Confidence Vote, you can, or may, if you wish, visit thesandspur.org for live updates. We are also publishing those or promoting them through our Twitter at thesandspur and on Facebook, facebook.com/thesandspur. And many likes on these stories.
Many likes.
Many likes.
These
good
stories
to see the involvement.
Yes.
Of,
well,
of they, Face World.
Well, Face Place was high a flutter with likes and whatnot. And you know, yeah, I heard a lot of good news about Jana Matthews and our own Mary Catherine, both writing kind of double-sided opinions and whatnot.
Right. They weren't necessarily opposing each other.
They weren't. That's why I say double-sided. Because they were
double-sided.
Page, you know, because they were not necessarily like...
Not both sides of the issue.
Yes, but...
Just both sides of the page. You'd have to see this, folks. He's holding it up right
now. I'm sorry. We do things where we do physical gestures and we realize, there is no video camera in the studio, so you don't understand what we're talking about. It's my fault.
Right. But those good articles you can find online...
Online, they're still on the racks. If you search hard,
yeah,
yes,
search hard enough, and you'll find them. One thing we did have this past week that was not breaking news. Well, it was breaking news that morning. That was Fox Day.
Fox Day.
Yeah, that was the day after our show.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
It was very interesting because I had mentioned last week that I had a test on Wednesday, and I was kind of hoping Fox Day would be on Wednesday. So, like a lame-o, I spent Fox Day kind of in my dorm studying. Although, I did have some fun with free food, free pizza. Free pizza was awesome. You know, got to go out and kind of enjoy the sun for a little bit. So, you know, there were some highlights, and the barbecue was legit. As always, P-Dunk.
Yeah, there's some things to do on campus. A little more than usual now that there aren't buses to the beach.
Yeah. Diverting funds to, like, huge climbing things and inflatable twister and bounce houses.
Inflatable twister.
Yeah, it's just really, okay, kind of geeking out here. There is this big, like, inflatable, like, one of those, like, you know, kind of bouncy
things.
Yeah, but there's no top. And what it is, it's like some guy was, like, spinning a twister thing. It was like Twister, so you would play Twister, but it's like on a bounce house kind of, so you had to keep your balance, and it's like Twister 2.0 to the max.
Yeah, extreme. Well, that's cool. But yeah, I heard some sentiments of students staying on campus and being happy about it. There were a lot of different food options that were free that the college wheeled out at different times, and then there was bouncy twister, a bounce house, rock wall, stand-up paddleboarding. You name it.
There was a lot.
It was one of those things.
There was a lot to do. There was a lot to do on campus, but of course, a lot of people chose to forego on-campus affairs and went to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got arrested this year, or so we know of. Yay!
Good.
So, thank you, Rollins students. You're awesome.
Right. That was a story in the past.
It's been a story for my last 2 years on this campus. It's always every Fox Day somebody gets arrested, somebody gets in trouble, we get kicked off a beach.
Right, and the beaches did say, don't come back.
And yet we did enforce. No, I don't know. Not enforce. We didn't come
probably
with like knives. But we came.
Yeah, it was probably pretty uncoordinated.
It was very uncoordinated.
Different
actually.
Beaches.
This was
just
a
lackluster force.
We did. I will say this: we did not treat Daytona like Normandy.
Normandy too. I was trying to work that in there.
That's the one.
It wasn't like a reverse Normandy.
It was not a reverse Normandy at all.
No.
It was very genteel, and we were all nice people, and we were like, "Can we come on your beach?" And they were like, "I guess so."
Mm-hmm.
And we did, and we didn't do anything bad. So, Fox Day, as always, time-honored tradition here at Rollins College. We hope I definitely hope your Fox Day was better than mine. If your Fox Day was like mine, hey, I feel ya. Sometimes it's tough to be a good student, but we do what we gotta do. And as they say, exactly 3 weeks and 1 day until finals. 3 weeks and a day until finals. How does that feel, Greg? Well, it doesn't feel like anything to you because you're graduated. It feels like hell to me, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of graduation and...
Life?
Kicking out the seniors. Coming up in a few minutes, we do have an interview with Josh Mannin, who's a graduate of 2011, who is currently serving in the Peace Corps, and we'll have that coming up in a few. And over the next few weeks, we hope to get different perspectives of graduates of the college, see what they're up to, see what their transition has been. Why else would we do this? Give me some other reasons.
For what? For life.
Now you're not
for
listening.
For love. No, that's what I was kind of like. For life. For love. For honor.
But what these graduates had planned on doing when they were undergrads.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I think it's kind of giving a perspective as to, you know, you kind of come out of college with one thing in mind, one thing you're going to do, and then a few years later you find yourself maybe doing something else and realizing that that's absolutely okay.
Right. And so we'll have that interview in just a few minutes. We will start out with a song. This is Michael Kiwanuka with Bones.
I'm joined by Josh Mannin, a Rollins alumnus of 2011, who's currently serving in the Peace Corps. Tell us about where you're working.
Currently, I am a teacher. I'm a secondary school teacher with the Peace Corps in Malawi, Africa, the district of Nkota Kota.
And what's life like there?
It's a very generalized question, but it's much slower. I guess an easy way to define it is it's much simpler. Doing many fewer activities in a day still kind of encompasses a very full day. But it's enjoyable, but it's just very, very different. It's a bit hard to explain, but...
What was the adjustment period like?
Well, at first I was in training for about 3 months, and I actually stayed in a village very far away from any towns nearby, and stayed with actually a family. And so I had a mother and a father and brothers and sisters and things like that. And they would do all the cooking and things like that, so I did not even have my own schedule. It was all planned for me. And that was very, very, very difficult. And... So for the first 3 months, that was difficult. And then I moved to be on my own, at my own site, and began teaching. And there, that was a whole new set of difficulties with the isolation. I was not in training with my fellow Peace Corps class. I did not have that family there with me to help me through. So that was probably another 3 months of difficulty once I got to site. But I'd say after that 3 months, things started getting much easier. And now that I've been in country for about 10 months. I feel like I've adjusted and integrated, not 100%, but I'm very happy now.
How do the schools compare to the public schools here? I'm guessing it's public.
Well, I'm from Florida, and of course, I went to high school here, and they're exactly the same. Not exactly the same, but obviously, we have a huge lack of books. Well, I work out in what's called the Community Day Secondary Schools, which are the poorest of the poor there in Malawi. All the students, when they finish primary school, they take these big national tests, and kind of depending on their scores there and how much they pass, they are then sorted into different levels of schools. And the Community Day Secondary School is the poorest and then the worst performing. And so we have very few facilities. Like myself, I'm a chemistry and physics teacher. We don't even have beakers or chemicals or even magnets. It's been very difficult to try to teach magnetism without magnets. So a lot of drawings, and I have a backpack with a little magnetized piece on it. So that was pretty much all I could do. So in terms of those facilities and things, and it gets so hot there, so most of the time we have to teach outside. We, you know, just go out under a tree and we do class out there. But in terms of the students, I think they really want to learn. They really want to be there. And I know when I was a kid, I never really wanted to be in school here. So I think that actually is really nice, and that's really comforting as a teacher to see that passion from my students.
And how many students do you have in your class?
I teach basically freshmen and juniors in high school comparatively. The ages are very different, but those are the grades. And for my freshmen, I have two classes of the same thing. We call them two streams, and about 50 in each class. And then for my juniors, I have about 35 to 40 on an average day.
What's the most enjoyable part about being over there?
Most enjoyable part? Just getting the chance and the opportunity, something that is incredibly rare, so few people get it, but to get that insight into our own culture and the things that we take for granted and the things that, even things that we think are good or we just don't notice them in our culture until you're away from it and you look back on it and you see that so often things that we think determine our happiness and that we rely on to be successful and fulfilled, you don't actually need those things. And I feel like I'm especially lucky to have had the opportunity to come home during my service, because, you know, when I'm over there, I thought that I really missed a lot of these things, like, you know, the great food is nice, you know, and having, you know, instant access to almost whatever I want, you know, whenever I want, you know, and all these, this stuff, and, you know, air conditioning, things like that. And I thought that was what I was really missing when I was gone, you know, these creature comforts. But it's really just people, you know, and of course I wanted to see my friends and family, but what I found is I really don't care at all about these other things. And the best part about it has just, you know, seeing the people that are missing in my life and the other stuff I could really care less about. So that's a great opportunity to kind of refocus our priorities and then to, I guess, maybe help other people with in dealing with that too. So that's been really nice.
Let's go back to immediately after you graduated. What did you do after you left Rollins?
Actually, I was very fortunate, especially as an English major, to have received a job. Actually, we graduated on Sunday, and I started work Monday. And I actually worked as a quality control editor for a private investigation corporation. So what I was doing, I majored in English literature and minored in mathematics. So what I did was I edited the reports for not only, like, you know, grammatical correctedness and things like that and formatting, but we would often work for insurance companies or law firms or sometimes the police or things like that. So we'd also have to work with the clients to make sure it was all up to exactly how they wanted it or how it needed to look in the courtroom or whatever. And then also if there was any video shot or any video or audio or things like that. I would have to edit it to make sure that it matched with the report, or we'd edit it just for specific content according to however the client wanted that to be done. And I did that for a little over a year. So I was working there for maybe 13 or 14 months.
And then what happened in that time that made you choose to pursue the Peace Corps?
This is always a really difficult question that everyone asks people in Peace Corps, you know, why the heck would you do something like that? There are several reasons. I guess probably the first reason is I just really wanted to do something positive. And I felt like the work I was doing, well, it sometimes could be interesting. Every now and then we'd get a really interesting case. But I just felt like I wasn't making a really positive impact on the world. And I didn't do that. It just, you know, grew more and more important to me, and that longing just kept getting more and more powerful until eventually I decided to do it. And my faith played a big role in wanting to go abroad and serve and do something like that. And I guess thirdly, I guess some kind of minor things, but, you know, wanting to travel, wanting to see the world, just wanting to experience something different.
Before I ask you what you're thinking of doing next, how has living in Malawi changed or even given you perspective on how to think about the future?
In a lot of ways. In Malawi as a culture, they think very different temporally. So, of course, here in America, we're always thinking about what's next, and we're always preparing for the future. You know, you're always getting educated for the next thing, and then you're putting money aside for the next thing. You know, and so we don't often or often enough take the time to just sit back and enjoy life, and then stop preparing, but just say, okay, I've reached what I've been preparing for. But when you talk to most Americans, that's kind of absurd. Like, we never reach what we've been preparing for.
Unless maybe it's retirement.
Unless maybe it's retirement. But then you're going to start working on your golf game or something, you know, and so you're always working towards something. Which, I mean, isn't really a bad thing. It's just different from Malawi in that they're very, very, very focused on the now. They don't really think about the future. And they don't even really think about the past. And so much of the time is spent just enjoying the now, whether it's, you know, just sitting and, you know, under a tree and, you know, eating a piece of fruit and really doing nothing, or, you know, playing a game of bao, which is, you know, a really popular local game with a friend. And it's not really about setting food aside or building a home that will last a long time. You know, if the home is built and it will work today and it will work for maybe a few weeks even, that's enough for them. You know, and in a lot of ways it's nice that they do take so much time just enjoying life. And so for me, it has really changed my view of, you know, a workload. And personally, I have no desire to go back into, you know, the corporate world, corporate America, you know, and to work these 50-hour weeks and to lose my weekends and things like that. Just because that's just not appealing to me at all anymore. So definitely it'll be either, you know, academia, but even that, I mean, it's just very different. So I think I just want to do something in which I can spend my time just, you know, helping people, and, you know, I'm not even really sure. I guess I'll just have to take it as it comes and decide, but I guess that's also kind of a side effect of Malawi, just take it as it comes.
Right, and you will finish your Peace Corps commitments in 2014. So do you have an idea of what's immediately after that?
Well, I really want to travel, continue traveling. When we complete our Peace Corps service, we get a stipend. And so many of us, when we close our service, we do tend to travel. Personally, I'm really wanting to go visit areas in Eastern Asia, specifically Southeast Asia, Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand. It's just somewhere I've always been interested in and wanted to go to. And now that I'm already halfway there, I figured there's never really going to be a better time to do that. But then after that, I'm probably pursuing grad school. At least that's the number one option right now. But then after that, who knows? You know, I've really learned to stop thinking and planning so far ahead and stressing out about that, and instead just focus on how I can help the most and do the most good and just enjoy life right now.
And we wish you good luck, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And that was The Very Best with Warm Heart of Africa, featuring Ezra Koning of Vampire Weekend. And I didn't know, they actually do reference Malawi in that song. And looking up Warm Heart of Africa, that's actually a nickname that Malawi uses. That's what I'm talking about, convergence.
Just bringing things all together.
Yes.
It is. But, you know, I mean, I think that's a really cool thing to do is, to give up so much of your time and effort and do something like go into the Peace Corps. It's crazy. And like you mentioned, there's just so much you learn from an experience like that.
Sure. Kudos to Josh.
Kudos.
Back to world news, actually.
Some national news, actually.
World.
World. Wait, you're right.
I know, we didn't mention world in our pantheon of news.
Yes. Well,
at the beginning.
Well, I'm sorry, that's probably getting really annoying. Margaret Thatcher, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, has passed today due to complications from a stroke, dying of a stroke. It was very interesting. It's very interesting to kind of, I mean, it's sad. It's a sad thing for many people in the United Kingdom today. Margaret Thatcher, if you don't know, was known as the Iron Lady, the first and so far only woman's prime minister in the United Kingdom and Britain, and was very much a very conservative prime minister, very much arm in arm with Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
You know, both running at the same, both obviously head of each of their respective countries at the time. I think this quote best kind of puts things in summation. From the Associated Press. For admirers, Thatcher was a savior who rescued Britain from ruin and laid the groundwork for an extraordinary economic renaissance. For critics, she was a heartless tyrant who ushered in an era of greed that kicked the weak out onto the streets and let the rich become filthy rich. So very, very polarizing. I mean, just one way or another. But I think also loathe her. Well, and also it's quoted as saying, love her or loathe her, one thing's beyond dispute, Margaret Thatcher transformed Britain. So one way or another, I mean, she did a lot. She did a lot, and she completely changed the landscape, the political landscape of the United Kingdom and British politics, you know, even up to today. So,
and she was prime minister for 11 years, 1979 to 1990, which is the
roughly
longest
Reagan.
In the, what's that?
I was saying roughly the same time as Reagan.
Yes.
80 to 88. I was the corollary. I was going to make, but go on.
Right.
Yes.
What I was going to make was, that was one of the longer reigns as prime minister, as I've seen since the early, I think 1800s I saw. A long time.
A long time.
She was really representative of being this figure that people relied on for a very long time, you know, mm-hmm. was kept in office, was thought of very highly. And for her to be the only female to have that post is interesting that there possibly haven't been more candidates to follow her.
Her footsteps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, she was tough. She was a tough old, I mean, they call her the Iron Lady for a reason. She was tougher than some of the guys in Parliament, to be quite frank. And
right, and Reagan called her the best man in England.
Yes, exactly.
Which, sort of
a compliment. He meant it probably as a compliment.
I don't know if he would have said that today.
No, probably
no
not.
No one's saying that today.
Nobody's in PC.
Besides when I just said it.
Yes, but we're only doing it as a historical artifact.
Exactly.
Not by representing our current opinions. But yes, no, it was, I mean, it is a big thing. Whether you did like her politics or not, I mean, she wasn't an enigmatic woman. I mean, just a leader in general, just somebody who really will go down in history, not only as a British leader, but really a leader in general who did so much, who really did so much in her amount of time as office. And it's very interesting to see how obviously her legacy lives on. Obviously, Meryl Streep just portrayed her about a year or so ago, around that,
mm-hmm.
In The Iron Lady.
Yeah.
Convergence. Tis life, folks. Tis life. Everything is not but coincidence. So, yeah. So it is a very sad day, and our heart goes out to the United Kingdom and to all those.
And also with commencement coming up, we're looking at covering the commencement speaker.
Yes.
Still a mystery who that person is. But one thing you should know is that the person will be speaking for free.
For free.
As is
tradition.
The policy of Rollins.
President. Tradition is a
yes.
better term as opposed to policy. It's our tradition that we don't. As opposed to this is the policy of Rollins.
I don't know how far it goes back, though.
Right.
There was coverage by our production manager, Melanie Weitzner, earlier in the Sanspur season. towards the beginning of the semester. And in her conversation with President Duncan, he expressed that that was, you know, a viable option for finding good speakers. Of course, it's not the Dalai Lama who's speaking at Tulane or any of these videos.
It really is.
Viral videos of Stephen Colbert or Conan O'Brien giving pretty excellent speeches.
Or Seth Rogen. Oh, no, not Seth Rogen. The one who does Family Guy.
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane. Yeah. I was confused. Yes. Seth MacFarlane went and did it as, like, Stewie and Quagmire. Yeah, he also did, like, so he obviously gave his speech, but he also gave it as a few of his characters as well, which was really hilarious.
Sure.
But that isn't going to happen at Rollins, folks, so I'm just titillating you.
No, and even at my commencement in 11, when the president of Miami-Dade College gave the commencement speech, and sitting on the stage was Edward James Olmos, who is receiving an honorary degree, but would have cost some money for him to open his yapper.
You would think that, like, hey, we'll give you this degree. It's honorary. You didn't do anything for it, but...
Well, arguable.
folks. Can you use your degree? Can you use your honorary degree, Greg? No, it's like a gift. You can't actually use your honorary degree.
He could put it in front of his name and stuff.
Okay.
Or after his name.
But you can't.
Or in the middle of his name.
You can't actually use your honorary degree. It's like giving, like, somebody.
No, but you said he didn't earn it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He's a man of letters.
Okay.
Arts and letters.
Okay, he may have earned it, but he can't use it. So what I'm trying to say is that,
so,
hey, here's your
because we gave him
degree.
Something useless, he has to talk to us?
I'm
crumbling.
Saying that
your argument. Crumbling.
I'm going to get my shovel. I'm going to get my shovel because obviously I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I guess, but no, but go on.
Well, what do you think is the value of having some sort of superstar giving a little talk? It's maybe 10 minutes long.
But I personally think it just, okay, you go into college for 4 years and you're about to leave and you want an eloquent speaker.
Sure.
Who can really sum up the collegiate experience, but also post-grad and what's next, and really that kind of onward and upward, you really just hypes you up for the yeah. rest of your life, for this post-grad experience. I want somebody who is recognizable, somebody who I know, somebody I feel a connection to, and also somebody who I feel is going to give a rebel-rousing speech, something that it's going to be like, yes, I will light that light. I will not go silently into that good night. I uh-huh. will go onward and upward, and I will face the difficulties that is whatever may be holding to me. Like, that's uh-huh. something I want to hear on my graduation day.
And the woods, the paths diverged in the woods and all that.
All that jazz. I want a little bit of Frost. I want a little bit of this. I want, you know,
Dylan Thomas. Name it.
I want everything. I want Robin Williams to give his Dead Poets Society speech to me.
All wrapped into one.
All into one. And I get it. It's not necessarily the most, you know, practical thing. I mean, you know, we are a small liberal arts college and stuff, so I get it. Like, we can't always get somebody like Maya Angelou to come and speak, per
sure.
se. I mean, although we did get Maya Angelou to come and do WPI stuff, but,
yeah.
you know. But I just think that,
No, he wasn't.
No, I think that it's something. Yes, folks, it's live.
Yes.
No, I think that it's something that, I really, really, just when you, everybody wants a speaker who's going to make them feel that at the end, right as they get their diploma, it's like, yes, I'm ready to face the world. And I think that's not too much to ask. And sometimes you get speakers who I've heard, obviously, weren't the most rebel rousing. We're just kind of like, okay, you're speaking. You know what? It isn't as impactful.
Right. And I don't know, sort of on the other side of that, not to be a downer and all, but are you really going to remember it? Maybe if it's some super good speech or something. I'll give you that. But I don't know, commencement seems like it could only be made better by being made shorter. You know?
Well, if the
shoe...
You don't agree. I don't know. I'm saying it's not okay. If we're going to have a long graduation, let it be let it be good at every point.
Okay.
You know, let it really signify something great. If it's gonna be like this drawn out like 2 hour symposium where I just want to like gouge yeah. my eyes out at the end of it, like, no, I don't want it. Like, thanks for ruining my one celebration of the 4 years where I had to stay up at Club Olin studying every single night. I had exams at the Yahoo, 20-page papers. Thanks for making me feel like I'm writing a 20-page paper when it's supposed to be this wonderful experience that kind of culminates where I can look out and I can see the friends that I made that I had to struggle with, the professors that, hey, I might have hated you at one point, but you made me a better person. And that diploma up on stage, something that is a physical validation of my hard work. Don't ruin that experience for me by giving me a subpar speaker. Somebody who you got from the tax office to come back, the chief of the tax office to come and
Earl
speak.
Earl K. Wood would have been a great speaker.
No, rest I'm in sorry. Peace. I'm sorry. I'd want somebody who's like, I don't know much about graduation speeches, but if you're ever looking for a position, come down to work at the IRS. Like, no, I don't want you to plug your organization. I want somebody who's going to change my life in the 10 minutes that you have. And yes, that might be a tall order, but then that just means you can't get some guy or girl or whatever off the street. You want... I just get very heated because it's such an important thing to graduate. It is such a...
Yeah.
To give a good speech can change the life of somebody in that room. I'm not joking. For me, if you can give a good speech, one, just a few really placed, really well-placed words and really well-placed spaces can turn... just regular conversation, a regular talking to 500 students, and turn it into an amazing experience. I think that's all I'm trying to get out of this. It's like, I don't care if we don't have the Dalai Lama, or we don't have a great American speaker, or Ellen DeGeneres come. Okay. Then get me somebody who is going to uplift me or make me feel as if, you know what, I can face the world. I can face the world knowing that these last 4 years have been an amazing experience and that these aren't the only 4 years that I'll have to be amazing. And that I still have the next 40, 50, and 60 years to really change the world. That's all I'm asking.
So are you lobbying to be that speaker?
I am lobbying.
That was a speech.
If President Duncan calls me one day and is like, would you like to speak for your class or for this year's class, I would not deny him.
And then you're going to say, how much are you paying?
No, don't worry. I won't charge you, Duncan. I won't charge you. Just let me in on the next Fox Day next year.
All right. Well, that's our show.
That is our show. I am Amir Sadeh.
I'm Greg Golden.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.
See you next week.